Hi, and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 40... shit.
Four.
44. 44. So yeah, I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, off to a stellar start. And with me, as always,
so well.
We got Zachary Miller.
Hey, hey, hey! If you don't,
Andrew Gergen's
gonna say something,
hey, Zach,
fucker.
What's going on? Oh, Neil. Also Neil. Hi, Neil.
And Nathan, the Nate, Mustafa.
Oh, the one name I despise in this world. Nate.
What about Mufasa?
You continue to use it. I don't mind that.
Okay.
Go
really?
Ahead. Call me Mufasa.
All
call
right,
me
right.
Nate.
Nathan, the
how about,
Mufasa
how about
Mustafa?
Natty? Like Natty Light?
Yeah, sure.
But what about Nathan Drake? Yeah, they call him Nate, and he's awesome.
That's actually what you called me on my first day of the podcast.
I know that. There's a reason for that.
I know.
I remember that.
Memories.
Oh,
it feels like
we
the first time.
Ooh, that grass is rustling.
So we got some stuff to talk
I
about
guess
today.
So.
First off, there was a little thing that went on last week called the Game Developers Conference. Went on over in San Francisco. Our own Aaron Kalutzka was there, along with a couple other people. And Satoru Iwata, the president of Nintendo, had a keynote speech, which started off with a half an hour of him talking about how Nintendo's awesome,
and everyone else
and
can suck it.
Kind of devolved into some kind of E3 press conference shit where Reggie just came on the stage and announced a bunch of shit, then left, then Iwata talked a little more, and then it ended. But so what
that
Reggie talked
about
was that Netflix is coming to 3DS this summer.
That's kind of exciting.
Oh, wait, didn't we forget to whine about how it's not about the developers anymore? We have to get all these announcements.
This is what they've been doing for a while, though.
I know.
I mean, Iwata's done this like 3 or 4 times now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's always what it's been. It's always been a veiled keynote or a veiled press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, here's
and
the
mean,
thing.
That's how
here's the thing.
It.
Nintendo
so
produces...
If you're going to complain about it, then you shouldn't treat it like...
Right.
It's, you know, this big press conference.
Exactly.
And look, Nintendo makes the quality stuff, and the rest of you just make little penny games.
Yep.
Let's take this in order, what? Zach. Let's start at the beginning and get to that bullshit later.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to ignore that. If we want to talk about the first half of his speech, then we can. I was just going to go right to Netflix on 3DS.
No, I'm excited about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Netflix on 3DS is kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, great, I can sit in my bed and watch Netflix on my 3DS, or I could just watch it on, you know, the other 14 things that I can watch it on. Where
so here's sort of my question. I know that there's been a lot of talk about whether or not they'd be able to stream movies in 3D, like your Avatars and your Toy Story 3Ds.
Kind of answered that.
What did they say?
I believe it's... I mean, Netflix, I think, has been working with 3D a little bit. I don't follow them as closely. But what's gonna happen is that I think maybe not when it comes out, but Nintendo is investing in helping Netflix getting 3D content streaming.
That's nice.
So we might not see 3D movies when the service launches on 3DS, but I think they will be forthcoming.
Here's my question, though. Like, is the 3D on the 3DS using – or is this 3D video – use any sort of, like, an industry standard in terms of, like, actually projecting the 3D that the 3DS subscribes to?
Like, I have no idea, but they have movie trailers running on there. Fine.
But are they specifically coded for the 3DS is my question.
Possibly.
Because if the content has to be specifically coded for the 3DS, I would not expect very many movies
However,
to be in 3D.
I mean, I don't know if you knew, but with the movie trailers and everything, there's only 3D on or 3D off. There's no middle ground. And that might be something to do with the converting it from...
Okay.
You know, like the 3D film to working on 3DS. Maybe why you can only have 3D on or 3D off.
I'm just not sure if there's like an industry standard for 3D video that has to be that the 3DS subscribes to, because I'm a little worried that the 3DS does its own thing to enough of an extent that movies to be in 3D on the 3DS, movies have to be specifically coded for Nintendo's version of 3D.
Oh yeah,
I that's
see.
True. Or not.
That could be why Nintendo's investing in it.
Yeah, exactly, and maybe that'll pay off. That'd be awesome. I would love to watch some 3D movies on the 3DS. Even though, like I said, like you said before, I already have like 17 and a half devices that can do Netflix.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, the more the merrier.
Well, kind of tying into the Netflix on 3DS announcement, which actually makes it a little cooler, is the fact that Nintendo's going to team up with AT&T to use their hotspots and have them be free with for 3DS, and I think they will connect to it automatically, although I don't know if that was completely clarified.
That's pretty nice.
On one hand, it's really cool. On the other hand, like, I think a lot of those AT&T things are, like, at Starbucks and stuff where it's already
right,
free.
Right,
yeah.
But even still, the fact that if it connects to it, like, if you're walking and you have, you know, your 3DS in standby mode, and, like, you just walk past the Starbucks and then it, like, hooks up to the internet and downloads some shit, that would be awesome. And I think
the thing is, if you're walking by a Starbucks, the amount of time it's going to take you to
for the network, you go into a Starbucks and get a coffee.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that the Wi-Fi at Starbucks has only been free for a very short amount of time.
I think July last
year.
Yeah, before that, it was pay. In fact, a lot of these national name brand Wi-Fi hotspots are like the ones like in airports, for instance, they're rarely free. Like, I would more expect a coffee shop that was locally owned and operated to have free Wi-Fi because all they got to do is hook up a router. Whereas Starbucks, being a national chain, has like a contract with AT&T. The fact that it's free is more a bonus than an expected commodity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact
so it's
the
pretty big deal,
is
what I'm saying.
It's already free. So
yeah,
it's, like
it's those. Yeah,
Nintendo
Starbucks
going
is
with these
it's free at Starbucks. I'm sure there's plenty that aren't free from AT&T.
Yeah, I think there are. I just know that Starbucks is the one big example of AT&T.
Yep.
Do we know how well widescreen content is going to display on the 3DS or what kind of resolution is going to be pushed to us?
Because
it seems like it's at a funky resolution. And I don't know if.
Yeah. It might just not fill the entire screen, like kind of like how DS games display on the 3DS. Mm.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would assume the video will be a little bit, you know, a little bit weird on the 3DS screen, but I think it'll probably look acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice perk. It doesn't have to do that, and it does, and that's a nice perk.
And I mean,
I would also love
for
that to be a Hulu Plus application.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as we're going that route.
Having a Netflix subscription, it's free, so it's a bonus in addition to your Netflix subscription and you're owning a 3DS.
I think before they put Hulu Plus on it, Hulu has to fix its Plus service, you know, just for mobile devices. There's a lot of content you can't get that you can get on the PC. And then just,
I understand, and I agree, but that will happen a lot quicker if the penetration for Hulu Plus rises. So it's already on PS3. It's not even on Xbox yet. At this point, given the fact that these applications are fairly lightweight and every device like the 3DS has some sort of a distribution service for software, there's no reason for these kinds of applications to just not be there all the time. If it didn't have Netflix, I'd be pretty irritated. And Hulu to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to do it at this point. So I'm happy it's there. It's a sign that Nintendo is sort of, you know, to a certain extent, wising up with their connectivity on these kinds of devices. And I hope to see more signs of that coming to the 3DS as the years continue.
The other big news at the GDC press conference was the fact that there is a Super Mario game coming to 3DS.
Yes,
it's going to be a 3D Mario game. You know, in the same vein as, like, Galaxy.
I don't know if that's confirmed, is it?
Yeah, at least from the... I believe it was mentioned.
Well, I mean, the screens look like Mario 64.
Yeah, and I think it was also said somewhere... Well, it's being made by the Galaxy team.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And I think from the screenshots... And I think Iwata may have even said something saying that it's going to be, like... It's going to be a 3D Mario title.
That's nice. It has. It might have the Tanuki suit.
The fact that it's on the 3DS, I think it was referring to the fact that, you know, it's like a 3D platformer Mario title.
Right.
This is sort of along the same lines, but off topic to a certain extent. It seems like I've read that the slide pad can be used as a D-pad replacement on existing DS games, meaning that Super Mario 64, the launch title from the DS, suddenly becomes a lot more playable.
Play
not perfect, but a lot more playable.
I will most definitely test that out to see.
I'm curious to see how the analog mapped or the D-pad mapped to the analog stick works in that game. Because that's basically what you're going to have. You're still going to have sort of a wonky directional based walking, but it'll hopefully be a lot cleaner.
Super Mario 3DS, we don't really know that much. There was just four screens, and in the logo on the O, there was kind of a little tail.
Tanuki tail.
A lot of tease that you will learn about that at E3, but, I mean, obviously it might be a raccoon tail, a tanuki tail or something. That could be really cool if this game turns out to be kind of the, maybe a Super Mario Brothers 3 of 3D Mario.
New Super Mario Brothers 3.
Which do you guys want more, a 2D side-scrolling Mario or a
2D side-scrolling
exploratory? Do you? You're not done with the new Super Mario Brothers series?
I don't like
yet,
the new Super Mario Brothers series itself, but I just don't think they've done it right.
Well,
okay.
To be completely honest, if we were to get a new side-scrolling Mario game, it would be a sequel to New Super Mario Brothers. So
yeah.
I don't think you would see a radical departure from that. It would just be more of that. Whereas if we get a 3D Mario game, especially if they kind of, like, you know, disavow the galaxy, like, idea.
Aesthetic, yeah.
Then you'd have something. I mean, it's still okay. It'd still be a 3D platformer Mario. You know, we'd probably know what to expect. But at the same time, if they have that in a different way, like, say, something more along the lines of how Super Mario 64 operated as opposed to how Galaxy operated, that could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would really like to see, I mean, especially since it's EAD Tokyo, I would like to see them do a, you know, a kind of a different take on what they did with Galaxy, like, get rid of the Galaxy aesthetic, go with something new, like, try something not necessarily radically different, but just different from what they've done before.
How about New Super Mario Brothers 64?
That would
sure.
be really cool.
They've said they're going to show more at E3, haven't they?
Yeah.
Cool.
So we're not going to hear anything about that game until E3. And
yeah.
I honestly hope that that's a fall 2011 game, and I think it very well could be.
Do you guys think they have to give us something in a Mario game that we haven't seen yet? Like, if we have a new Super Mario 64 where they just take Mario 64 and apply a fresh coat of paint and some new levels, is that enough for you to get really excited about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know that it is for me.
No.
Not excited, as in, like, I will get the
I'll
game
happily
when it
play
comes
it.
Out and play
I'll
it.
Happily play it, but, like, my hype will be on the floor.
Well, how excited were you guys for Galaxy 2?
Meh.
Fairly. And I really enjoyed it, but I wasn't really clamoring for it until a couple of days before it came out.
Yeah, I mean, that was the same kind of thing with me, where, I mean, I was excited to play Galaxy 2, and then, you know, when I was about to come out, I was like, oh, man, I'm really excited to play Galaxy 2. And I played Galaxy 2 and enjoyed it.
But Galaxy 2 is sort of a different beast, because Galaxy 1 was pretty different, and Galaxy 2 was the second title of that nature that we'd gotten. Mario 64
set a standard
aesthetic
for 3D platformers.
That we've been reliving every couple of years for a while
from
now.
Your expectations of Galaxy 2 compared with this prospective new Super Mario Brothers 64?
Well, Galaxy 1 had, you know, quite a few new elements that we hadn't really seen before, and Galaxy 2 was only the second game since then to give us those elements again. A new 3D Mario game in the vein of Mario 64 is going to give us several elements we've seen now in 5 or 6 games.
I honestly don't think they're going to do something as rote as a just, you know, it's like Super Mario 64, but in 3D. Like, I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't either.
Jungle Beat and Galaxy 1 and 2. Like,
I don't either. And the fact that it's the Galaxy team gives me a lot of hope that's not what it'll be.
Yeah.
We don't know anything yet, so it's kind of dumb to even speculate. But the screenshots look pretty similar to Mario 64.
Yeah.
I'm going to withhold reservation. Right now, it's having just gone through 2 Mario Galaxy games and 2 new Super Mario games, 2 new Super Mario Brothers games in the last, like, 4 years, I'm a little Mario burned out right now. But that said, it's always a great game, so I'm sure whenever I play it, I'll love it.
I kind of have to agree with you with being a little, like, Mario'd out with Galaxy 2 and new Super Mario Brothers Wii and everything. But I think by the time this game comes out, which, I mean, I'm not going to say a hard prediction that this is going to be fall 2011, but I'm pretty optimistic that will be. It seems like the EAD Tokyo is usually good at making deadlines. I think by the time the damn game comes out, I will be very excited, as long as the E3 showing is good.
If it's fall 2011, the E3
showing for this game will be pretty cool.
If it's fall 2011, that makes this pretty much the first must-own game on 3DS.
Yeah.
Very true.
Which makes sense, because it's the first one they've shown us that, you know, we didn't know about.
You mean aside from Dead or Alive Dimensions?
Yeah,
all
Zach.
All right, let's move on. There was a
right
Zelda
on.
Skyward Sword trailer that closed out the conference, or actually Yay. Started it. There was they had a glitch early on where they started the Skyward Sword demo and then quickly ended it before it got anywhere.
Because they couldn't
play
it?
They played it at the end in its entirety. And not to beat a dead horse that we've talked about before, But it looks like more of the same. It doesn't, it's Zelda with Wii Sports Resort. I know you guys are definitely, I won't lump you all together, but I know some of you are not really excited in the least for Skyward Sword. I'm definitely excited to play it, but I do kind of understand your complaints that it does just look like Zelda.
Can we get a show of hands? You didn't want to lump us together, but who is some of us? It's me, definitely. Andy.
I will be more excited about Skyward Sword when they show me something about the way the game progresses, because what I'm really tired about in Zelda is just sort of the way things move, and it seems to always be the same. So if they are seriously going to be adjusting the dungeon overworld structure, then I am very interested, because that's the one thing in Zelda that I think could really use a makeover.
I would rather just play Wind Waker again on the 3DS.
Oh, that would be nice.
I'm serious. I hope that Ocarina of Time 3DS sells through the roof, so that way they remake Wind Waker in 3D.
You know, and speaking of the Ocarina of Time remake, they have announced that Master Quest is going to be on the game as well.
Yeah, that sweetens the pot.
Yeah, I never got to play the Master Quest content, so.
If I hadn't just played Ocarina like a year ago, I'd probably be totally down for that game, but being as that I just replayed it and a whole bunch of other Zelda games, as I've mentioned several times in the podcast, I'm really kind of also burned out on Zelda to a certain extent. But it is nice that they're throwing in the Master Quest. That's awesome.
Speaking of being burnt out on Zelda, they also announced at the press conference that, because this is Zelda's 25th anniversary, and that they are going to do things to celebrate that. That will be different from what they did with the Super Mario Brothers.
I hadn't heard that.
Are they actually going to put effort into it?
It was an offhand remark during the press conference. Yeah, I mean, that could be it. I mean, they're releasing two Zelda games this year, supposedly.
What would you guys think about a graphical fresh coat of paint on Zelda 1?
Well, that'd be cool.
Does that interest you?
I mean, I like the game
3D
as it is.
Like 3D or just top down? What are we talking?
Like,
just take the 3D Dot Game Heroes.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I'm just talking about like a Super Mario All-Stars coat of paint applied to Zelda 1.
Oh man, if they did that like a compilation where it was like a fresh coat of paint on like Zelda 1, 2 and Link's Awakening,
Link's Awakening looks fine. Thank you very much.
Sure, it looks fine, but
if they did the toggle like they did with Cave Story. Man.
What?
Yeah.
They could just do a toggle. Old graphics, new graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that would be great.
Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3 all looked fine, too, and the All-Stars versions of those are still pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I would like them to stop pretending that Zelda 2 didn't happen and maybe actually, like, make a new Zelda game in that style. Yeah, WiiWare sequel.
WiiWare remake.
It doesn't have to be a major production. I just would like to see an acknowledgement that game existed. It may be some sort of a... Once again, fresh coat of paint. I'm a sucker for a fresh coat of paint on games that I love from ages ago. So, fresh coat of paint on Zelda games, I will be down for that. But we'll see we'll see what they actually do.
Also, Neil, the phrase is beating a dead Liv Tyler.
Oh man! Oh my god!
I was a little slow on the uptake on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man!
That's terrible, man.
It's true.
Let's just move on.
Like when she was riding the horse in Lord of the Rings, I thought
is that
it was
simply
like,
because
she
she's horse face?
Oh man! All right. So GDC, we have a lot of coverage on it. Go check it out. There were some cool talks that we have coverage of. I guess one last tidbit is that Monster Games, the developers behind ExciteBots and ExciteTruck and that ExciteBike WiiWare game. They developed Pilot Wings Resort.
That's pretty awesome.
Something that we learned during the Donkey Kong Country Returns post.
Maybe Nintendo will actually advertise the game.
Speaking of those games, has anyone actually heard the soundtrack for Pilot Wings Resort?
No.
It sounds pretty cool.
Because we're not looking at like a whole bunch of generic rock music, are we?
That would sound Cliff.
Maybe we can play songs off of a memory card.
Oh, Endless
Ocean?
Did you
guys play ExciteBots?
Briefly.
Dude, I have ExciteBots.
The music is nowhere near as bad in ExciteBots.
ExciteBots music is incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
Incredible?
It's not butt rock entirely.
Okay. I have the game. I've barely put any time into it, but maybe I'll start.
ExciteBots is honestly one of my favorite games on
the should do like a community game night. With ExciteBots, because that probably works better than GoldenEye.
I tried to do that, but then like my internet kind of crapped out. We did have a Wi-Fi night shortly after it came out, but we should do another one. Bring it back.
Yeah, it's a great game.
If you're interested, Newscast listeners, let us know in the talk back or email us, newscast@internalworldreport.com. We can make it happen. Or we could just do another GoldenEye one, but I think no. more of us actually have ExciteBots.
The GoldenEye one was, I mean, it was fun, but really took a lot of work.
I had a ton of fun.
Oh, I did too.
Maybe it's just because you suck at the game.
Well, that's part of it. I'm not any better at ExciteBots, so, you know.
I played ExciteBots probably, I don't know. I played the crap out of it after it came out and then picked it up a little while sometime last summer.
Yeah.
But I really like that game. Talking of another game that I really like, Pokemon.
At this point,
I've had it for about a week. I'm close to the sixth gym leader. I believe Zach has surpassed me.
I have. Feels good.
Got the game after me. That's because I spent. I was busy last weekend, so I didn't get to play a lot.
Excuses.
Yeah. So Zach has it, and Nathan also has it. And you guys are probably both playing them right now.
I am. I just caught a Sigiglyph.
I know. I heard you, asshole.
I thought I had it on you.
I've been really liking. Been really liking this game.
I like it too. I don't like it as much as Heart Gold, but it's tons of fun.
I like it more because it's not the same old Pokemon.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's that sense of exploration.
But you know, when you say that, Nathan, I mean, every new game except Heart Gold and Soul Silver had new Pokemon.
Okay, and I didn't.
Well, Heart Gold and Soul Silver had new Pokemon.
Right, they were evolved forms, you're right.
Yeah. Like you still had access to a lot of those old standbys.
The thing I like about this, though, the new Pokemon in this, is that they're clearly designed by somebody new. And you can't always, you know, the older games, the Pokemon were always color coded to be their type, you know, so you could kind of tell who was psychic, who was ghost, whatever. It's really not like that in this game. Like, I have no idea what type Sigiglyph is right now. And I like that.
Do you want it spoiled?
No, I know what he is because I just caught him.
Okay.
But if I
I have a new Pokemon question, and then I'll go back to being quiet and letting you guys talk about the game that you love. Pokemon Black and White is a brand new experience. We know that.
Well,
was
don't know
Heart
about
Gold
that.
And Soul Silver? They were just remakes of Pokemon Gold and Silver, right?
Kind of.
So really, this is only the second new Pokemon game that's been on the DS.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Like,
it's
what's really
It's the
what
fifth
is...
generation. There was Red and Blue on Game Boy, then Gold, Silver, then Ruby, Sapphire were the Game Boy Advance ones.
Right.
How different were Soul Silver from and Heart Gold from just Silver and
Pretty
Gold?
Pretty different. I mean, it's kind of like playing
from
Pearl,
a gameplay
with
perspective.
The Heart Gold. I mean, with the Gold and Silver plots and whatnot.
So the pattern they're in right now is they release a new engine with a new Pokemon, and then a couple years later they release an old game on that new engine.
Well, that's the first time. Well, no, that's not happened. That's true because
second time.
Fire Red and Leaf Green. Yeah, you're right.
Which are excellent remakes.
They are.
And so is Heart Gold and Soul Silver. They're also excellent.
Yeah.
So the Pokemon's franchise is basically games that are remakes in spirit, alternated with the games that are actual remakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I was
And I should that. Say that the sequels are, when you really get down to it, remakes.
Well, that's what I mean. The sequels, like the Black Gold and the Diamond Pearl, those are basically just spiritual remakes. And then the Heart Gold, Soul Silver are actual remakes.
More or less, yes.
And that's fine. I mean, clearly they know what they're doing. They're making they're selling a jillion each time. I just wanted to make sure that's what I thought it was is actually what it really was.
Now, the Black-White games, it would appear that these actually have potentially a new engine in place. They may have been built from the ground up.
It's totally the graphical overhaul and everything.
Yeah.
They're actually 3D Pokemon.
Well, as I've said in the past, the only Pokemon game that I've ever put any time into was Pearl, which lasted for me maybe 2 to 3 hours.
Wow.
And I found it pretty uninteresting. But that said, the way I hear you guys talk about Pokemon, I kind of want to try it again, but I don't really want to pick up a new game or even a game that's recent enough to be more than a few bucks.
Well, if you have to get one, I say get Soul Silver or Heart Gold.
Okay.
Like, in all honesty, you're not going to find, like, even the Game Boy Advance ones, you won't find them for cheaper than 20 bucks.
No. And Soul Silver and Heart Gold, Andy, those have tons of content, just tons of content.
Yeah. How is that possible? There's like 13 trillion cartridges of each version. in the market? How do those not?
Because their first party is still first party.
There's still a value. Like, you can still capture Pokemon in Ruby Sapphire, Emerald, Leaf Green, Fire Red on Game Boy Advance, and then transfer
and
them into
forward.
The DS games.
Right. It's not just that. I was listening to Player One podcast, and one of them went to GameStop to get a Super Mario 64 for DS, a used copy. Used copy was $40.
Holy crap.
Well, that might just be GameStop for you, but I think it speaks to first-party games.
Yeah.
No, and yeah, I understand that. I know that those hold their value better than other games. But there's something to be said for the more copies a game sells, the better likelihood you'll find it cheap used later, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it
just
doesn't
simple
work
economics.
Nintendo games.
But
it's like the inverse of that.
Yeah, like I've been wanting to buy a Mario Kart Wii forever, but it's still expensive.
You should just get Double Dash.
I didn't
know. That's still expensive probably, too. I mean, Melee was still like $40 until a couple months after Brawl came out.
Well, they can't...
I had a friend where like a couple months before Brawl came out was going at like a... I guess like he either lost his copy of Melee or something, and he went out and bought it, like looked for it at GameStop, and it was $35.
Damn!
Oh my god!
You know, like what is it? 7 years after the game came out.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail your conversation. Please continue. I find it kind of fascinating. The whole thing fascinates me. It's one aspect of Nintendo that I've really just never explored. Really worth anything. So.
But I was holding my thought for when Andy was talking. And I can go back to it, but I really like, and I probably said this last week, a lot of just the little updates that they've done to kind of improve the experience. Like how, when you're in a, like, I guess, a dungeon, quote, end quote.
Right.
There's always some character that you can go to in
the healer
Pokemon.
There is.
Which just makes it so convenient because usually, like, you know, you'd be halfway through some dank cave and then, two guys would be dead, and you'd be like, I guess I could just revive them, but that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, because then you have to heal
a lot of items. Or you can just go to the healer now in Black and White, and
right.
It's just a really nice touch.
It is very nice.
Inside of a dungeon?
Yeah.
Where are they generally located, like midway?
Yeah, more or less midway.
Usually.
That's awesome.
Like,
I've only
like,
played 2 hours
I'm just going
of
like
game,
in between
so
towns, and I run into... a healer there too. It's usually like a trainer you need to beat first or something along those lines, but then they'll be like, oh, I'll heal your Pokemon. When you get to like the first forest, there's a woman right outside of there. I think that's like the first.
Yeah, she's a nurse.
And it just, it just makes it a lot more convenient. I really, it's such a good touch. What else do I want to say? It seems like the encounter rate is a lot higher.
It is, and that's kind of irritating.
It definitely is.
I've been using a lot more repels.
I walked 6 blocks and I got into 4 battles.
Yes.
What the hell?
It makes it even more frustrating because they have this whole mechanic here where, like, you know, like the grass will be rustling and that will be a special Pokemon.
A rare Pokemon,
usually, Audinos, which are these normal types that give you a crap ton of experience.
Oh, do they?
And you'll see that and you'll rush towards it and then you'll get into a battle.
Oh, so they've added like a metal slime type character.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until like I fought one, beat it, and then like got like 2,000 experience. I was like, wow, what the hell happened?
Oh, I'm gonna have to pay more attention to that because I just caught one and was like, all right, I got one. I can ignore them all now.
Yeah, no, that's what I did too. I caught one and then I ran into another one and then like my Pokemon went up 2 levels after beating it. And I was really confused.
Gonna have to do that.
But I also like the scaled experience where if your Pokemon's a lower level, they'll get more experience
super nice.
As opposed to a Pokemon of a higher level, and it really makes it good especially if you're trying to. Like,
grind somebody.
You know, catch a Pokemon up. Because I was doing that, I got Victini, which if you have the game, go on to Nintendo Wi-Fi Connection and get the mystery gift and get the Liberty Pass so you can go capture Victini, who's a psychic fire type that you can get as early as the 3rd gym.
I'm finding he's not great.
I really like him. I have him. I was around the early 30s when I got him, and he's about level 27, and I taught him... Charge Beam, which is an electric type move, which kind of gives him more flexibility as far as, you know, what he can attack. So I've been digging him a lot. And I had a Darmanitan.
Yeah, I got him in my party right now.
Evolution.
I can't.
He's really good.
I can't do any of that until I've beaten the first gym. Like, I can't go onto the Wi-Fi connection.
Right.
Well, you couldn't. You won't be able to access the part where you can get Victini until you get to the area where the third gym is, because it's like where all the boats are, and you need to get on the boat.
Neil, when does
no,
that
but
little fire guy
connect
devolve
to the Wi-Fi connection at all? Right.
Oh yeah, you need the pal.
You need the pal pad
or something like that.
Okay.
Neil, when does fire pillow guy evolve? Daramuka.
I think 34, 35.
Damn, that's going to be a while.
Because there's that area, I know we're kind of getting into minutia here, and I guess we should wrap it up if we're going to get into minutia.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Pokemon
that area
is all
between,
about?
Yeah. There's that area between
really
Gyms 5 and...
playing Tiny Wings right now.
There's that area between Gym 5 and Gym 6 where you go through Charge Stone Cave.
Yep.
Where it's just like all these steel and grass Pokemon. So I just basically used him, like Darumaka, throughout of that. And he's... The reason why I stopped, like, the reason why I kind of retired him, because I like Victini more. I might go back to using him. Darmanchan or whatever the hell his name is. I might go back to using him, but I'm not sure. But he's like 4 or 5 levels higher than the rest of my Pokemon. Because I just use him and just beat the fuck out of everything in that dungeon.
I should go over there and level him up.
Yeah, do it with Victini, because it's all fire types. Or, I mean, it's all things that are weak to fire types.
That's true.
The presentation in this game is fantastic.
I like the story a lot. It feels a lot more
like
an RPG.
There's a lot of motion on the map as you're moving about. You know, grass is moving and leaves are flying everywhere. I didn't notice that as much in Heart Gold.
Yeah, I don't think
it wasn't there.
Yeah. Okay.
I also like how the story progression in the game is I wouldn't say it's like in your face, but there's a lot more like. It feels more like an RPG.
It does.
I mean, I know Pokemon is very much an RPG, but it feels more, I guess, like a story-driven RPG.
Yeah, when
like
you
I'm
walk into the first town and there's, like, the evil army. Not an army, but, you know.
Yeah. And, like, there's recurring characters because you have your two friends. And, like, instead of having a rival that, like, you know, picks the Pokemon, that starter Pokemon that's strong against you, you have these two friends.
And one is clearly your rival and one is a retard.
Which one? I don't understand. They both seem kind of retarded to me.
They're not retarded. And they're not really your rivals. They're just your friends that are also trying to complete their Pokedex.
Well, that's
and
true.
The girl has gigantic
hips. The male has bloodlust. The male has bloodlust, so he wants to be the best that no one ever was.
Right.
To catch them is his real test. To find them is his cause.
And the girl
needs
to hit the treadmill
every time she tries to throw her Pokeball.
Yeah.
Actually, no, she can't fall over. You like tip her and she just weebles right back.
She's
but
a tippy
the,
cup.
The girl then, over the course of the game, at least to where I am, the girl's basically like, man, I suck at Pokemon. I'm just going to go do some behind the scenes stuff. And she's like working with the professor at this point, who's
just
a girl.
Making TSIs.
those who can write, those who can't make TSIs.
I wouldn't say that.
No.
But now that I lost my train.
It is an excellent game. I very much enjoy it.
I mean, the whole stuff with Team Plasma, I mean, it's kind of, like, silly and ham-fisted as far as, like, how they want to liberate all the Pokemon when they're
and they're
evil.
Pokemon users
don't want to liberate.
Wait, don't spoil
Pokemon.
Anything. Don't spoil anything, please. I
no,
know it's just a Pokemon.
Spoiled.
I know it's just a Pokemon story, but at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing to spoil. I mean, even in the first scene with them, they're like they just have that air of, like, we want to liberate all of them for our own good.
Right.
Like, they have that. There's something diabolical underneath there, and I'm not spoiling anything because I haven't heard anything diabolical. It's just, like, the general feeling I'm getting from there.
Now, I liked it when Ash's Pikachu showed up and electrocuted all of them and was like, you know, that was pretty awesome. And Ash shows up
and
he's like,
Pikachu,
what's up,
just
bitches?
Took out a machine gun.
No, I wouldn't care about that.
And mowed them all down.
A machine gun made out of a slot machine?
Ash was dead.
Yes. That doesn't actually happen.
Yeah, that's all I got to say about Pokemon. It's really, really good. Read my journal from the first three, or I did 3 entries going up to the second gym, because oddly enough, the review restrictions won't let us talk about anything past the second gym.
Well, now, is there a date on that? Is there an embargo date? Like,
I'm guessing now that the game's out, that goes out the window, but pre-launch, we couldn't talk about anything past second gym.
Right. Even the Pokemon.
Zach and I will have a full review.
At some point.
A dual review later this week.
Oh.
So it might not be up by the time you hear this, but it'll be up shortly after that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Pokemon.
Bottom line, it's a good game.
Yeah. I wasn't even planning on buying it. And
really?
I just got the Poke Lust. I bought it. And I specifically asked for Pokemon White, and the clerk gave me Pokemon Black. And I was like,
wow.
But she was black, and I felt really weird saying no. So I have Pokemon Black.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, because I was going to be like, no, I don't want that one.
I want the white one, woman.
Exactly. And I'm brown, so I'm sort of sitting in the middle anyways, but still, you know.
You're right in the middle.
Yeah. And so I can choose, but at the same time, I couldn't say it.
Race relations with Pokemon, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Just bring up some real hard thoughts.
So we have some listener mail.
That's right.
The first one is actually Pokemon related.
Hey!
And I'll read this one. I know, what a coincidence.
Oh, we already answered this
Travis.
One.
Travis.
We did?
Yeah, we actually did.
Yeah, we did.
We should read it anyway.
Travis writes that he's debating on to whether or not he should pick up a copy of Gold and Silver or Black and White for the DS. Travis, rewind about 10 minutes of the podcast and listen to that debate.
We have advice for you.
Yeah. We gave it without even reading.
You're welcome, Travis.
He wants familiar Pokemon. Actually, if he really, really wants familiar Pokemon, just get Fire Red.
Yeah.
But
I will say that Gold and Silver aren't actually on the DS, although you can play them. They are backwards compatible.
I think you know what he means.
Oh, do I? Really?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah, I believe you just may know what he means.
It's possible.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to read?
Well, no. He also asked if we had to choose between Gold or Silver, which would we pick? And I don't know that.
Gold.
Like I've played both. I didn't.
Gold has Ho-Oh.
Soul Silver most recently.
I played Silver in Japanese. I played Gold in English, and then I bought Soul Silver, and I don't.
Now Soul Silver and Heart Gold both have Lugia
really
and Ho-Oh in them.
Differences.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any.
Because you can get both legendaries in it, so
well,
it's not like you're picking one.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, you can.
Ah, okay. But you couldn't in the original.
No.
Oh, that's lame.
Kind of is, yeah.
Well, that's that's what Pokemon's all about. Your buddy better get the other one.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we have another piece of listener mail. Kyle from Delaware writes, I love gaming. It has been a large part of my recreational life since I was a child. My current role in life has me balancing my hobby along with my responsibilities and my job as a husband and a father. So my budget and time make it hard to justify the cost of more than one console. I chose the Wii as my gaming console because of my longtime love of Nintendo. Unfortunately, the problem of good third-party titles is well documented, and many have asked for recommendations for a supplemental console, and I have found mine. On Live. I was intrigued from the start by what pushed me over the edge was a deal where I paid for Homefront, and I will be getting a micro console in Metro 2033 for free. So far, I've played around a little with Metro 2033 and Batman Arkham Asylum over Wi-Fi on a laptop. It works and works really well. When I get the full micro console, I can report back with a full review. But with games already available like Metro 2033, Homefront, Assassin's Creed 2, and Brotherhood, Bioshock, Braid, Trine, Batman Arkham Asylum, and Darksiders, you get a healthy dose of HD gaming. I encourage you to give OnLive a try. The membership, the app download are all free. And many games have 30-minute free trials. So far, I'm very impressed and would love your take on things.
Kyle Baker, Bear, Delaware, On Life Incorporated.
Wait, so membership is free? I thought you had to pay a monthly fee and buy your game.
I thought you'd...
I think they were swapping around the pricing structure.
Okay.
I don't know what they ended up at. Also, that seems like you just read like a commercial.
A little bit.
No,
I think he did.
I can understand why.
We just did a commercial for Pokemon.
Yeah
I won't.
It was a pretty shitty one. Sorry.
I'm actually genuinely curious about OnLive. I I've been wondering if it's something that I would be interested in. I mean, I have a PS3 and an Xbox, so I'm not that interested in it, really. But I'm curious about the technology behind it, like how well it works, like how feasible is it to actually, you know, play a game and enjoy it the same way you might on a 360 or a PS3.
Mm-hmm. Are you considering the micro console or playing it on your computer?
Well, the thing is, like, I'm not really in the target market for this. Because I can already play these games on TV.
Exactly.
And I don't really have any interest in playing them on my PC. But if I was in his shoes and all I had was the Wii, and I was choosing between a PS3 or an Xbox, and I didn't have any particular exclusive in mind, yeah, I might totally give this a shot. Especially since you can try it out for free without having to commit to anything. So, I would be curious to hear what his thoughts on the micro console are. He says he played Arkham Asylum over Wi-Fi on a laptop. I'm curious how that compares to a dedicated connection. This is a thing that I think could be a major breakthrough in gaming, but I'm really curious to see how polished it is. I'm glad they're not folding like the Phantom console, which died on arrival.
Yeah.
I'm curious about it.
I think this is definitely where gaming's probably headed. I'm curious about it, but not curious enough to actually get it.
To spend money on it, yeah. I may download the demo, on my MacBook and see what happens. No intention of spending money on it really, but, I'm curious to see how it plays.
Now, how does it work? Do you download the game to your computer or do you play it online on the cloud?
You unlock the license to play it on the cloud. Hey, Nathan left.
Oh, yeah. See how I used a technical term there, the cloud? I know what that is now.
You did a fantastic
job. To the cloud.
Can we just... Oh,
I believe Lando Calrissian lives in the cloud.
Now, the way it works, Zach, is you basically you pay... And here's the real problem with it. You're paying full retail price for these games, generally. And really all you're getting in return is access to the game on the online service, the OnLive service, which means that you don't really have it's similar to digital distribution in that you don't really have anything to hold in your hand to show that you have it, but it's even more disconnected from a retail copy in that if the OnLive service ever goes down, you're completely losing access to it. Whereas at least with like virtual console games or Xbox Live Arcade games, you can play them offline so that if Xbox Live shut down for good tomorrow, you can still play those games. If Nintendo vanished tomorrow, you could still play your copy of Mario on virtual console.
The premise of paying $15 a month and then also buying games on top of it doesn't seem worth it to me.
Well, he says the membership is free, though. So if membership really is free...
Okay, I'm looking at a PC Gamer article. Oh, you know what? Wrong year. Membership's probably free by now.
Oh.
But you still have to pay for all the games, right?
You do. You're still paying full retail price for these games.
Okay. Still, I'd rather just have a rig that can run all the games, either a console or a PC, and then just have it the box by myself and be able to play. You know, I don't want to depend on Charter. Like, not even OnLive. Just my freaking ISP. I don't want to depend on it at all.
Nathan.
Yeah.
Remember when your rig turns red, you got to use a health pack.
I don't even know. Is that an Xbox joke?
No.
Is that some sort of sexual innuendo?
No. Anyone know what
Pokemon?
That is? Anybody?
Does this have to do with, like, Oshawa?
No.
Waterworld?
Dead Space.
Ghostbusters. Well, I never beat Dead Space.
Oh, well, you played it.
Yeah. Long enough
it, like,
to not
years
like
ago.
It.
You know what? Screw you all.
This has been a new segment called Zach's Joke Falls Flat. Thanks for joining us.
I've
we'll
noticed it's
week.
Actually a weekly segment.
Thanks.
It's a recurring
Thanks, folks.
Yeah, we just figured we'd give it a name.
I'm Charmless Racer 7. I'm here all week.
Oh.
Let's move on to this next letter. I'll read this one. Shaman from the forums writes, recently the ESA announced some new restrictions for internet outlets covering E3. Sites that are less than 6 months old or get less than 8,000 unique visitors a month will not receive media badges. Is this going to have any impact on how NWR will cover E3 this year? Will the lines for the Super Wii be shorter because half of the hoi polloi will be on the outside looking in? And probably most importantly, will NWR be able to send people to the show? Thanks for the work you do, and I, for one, welcome our weekly newscast overlords. So, Neil, you're probably best equipped to handle
as
this,
director
so I'll
pass of the site,
to you.
I can say we will be at E3 this year. We don't know exactly who will be there.
I will.
And we're not quite sure as to how many, but I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to...
Isn't there a restriction on how many people can actually go from any given media outlet?
Yeah.
Well, it's also...
It's traffic-based.
If you don't have, as the guy wrote in that letter, if it's less than 6 months old or you get less than 8,000 unique visitors a month, you will not receive media packages.
Well, right. But I'm saying NWR is okay.
We will be completely fine. We will be attending it. We're not quite sure as to how many. We could be limited, but I'm thinking that we will probably still be rolling in there with the usual, like six people or more that we roll in with.
Right.
It might not be as extravagant. Like, we might not have another year where we have, 12 people going, but our coverage will not really lack because of it. So we will still be covering 3DS. We will still be covering E3. Don't you worry, all you loyal listeners and fans. And, yes, we are your newscast overlords. What up?
Bow before us. Balance grape.
Well, that's it.
That's it.
That's news.
Wait, that was it. Awesome.
That can't be it.
I still haven't gotten to talk about
this.
Meat
is porn. Great. This is great. No. Who's hosting?
Don't ruin this.
Who's hosting? Who's hosting? Gonna end this magical moment. Do it. Do it.
Do it. Next week we might be talking about 3DS, or I might not be here.
Oh yeah.
I'm moving into an apartment this weekend, so that's cool. So I'm not sure as to what my availability is, but whenever I get the review 3DS, I will be on that week's newscast episode.
Christ.
So next week you might be hearing someone in my stead, or you might be hearing someone in my stead in 2 weeks.
Speaking of the 3DS, I'd like to eat a little bit of crow and say that despite multiple claims on this podcast that I would not be getting a 3DS at launch, I will be getting a 3DS at launch. I pre-ordered mine on Amazon. I haven't ordered any games yet. I haven't decided if I'm going to actually buy a game or not, or just try to get some review copies. But I basically decided that I didn't want to be out in the cold when it came to discussing the excitement of launch. And I'm going to get one anyway, so I might as well get one sooner rather than later so I can actually play it a little bit and review some 3DS games. So
yeah.
Now that I am officially on the bandwagon, I am super excited. I gotta be honest.
That is why you write for
so
Nintendo
ready.
World Report.
Yeah, I know.
And same here.
I made a few sacrifices to make this happen. Sacrifices that I'm not really proud of. I will miss you dearly, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
And your wife.
So,
but you didn't have to whore yourself out.
No, I didn't. In fact, I was gonna sell basically like three or four of my favorite first party Wii games, and I ended up only having to sell two to complete my pre-order 100%. So I'll still have a few of the games that I treasure the most. I'm not much of anymore. This is a change from the past. I used to be more of a hoarder when it came to video games, and lately if a game sits on my shelf for more than a few months without getting touched and it's worth more than a couple of bucks on eBay.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to convince me to put it on. I mean, at the end of the day, these aren't collector's items, though I can buy it again if I really need it. In fact, I have sold a few games to get this 3DS that I'm positive I will be buying again. I do hope that former NWR staffer Grant enjoys my copy of Pikmin 3. Hope he treats it well.
Pikmin 3? Oh my god, Andy. You've been holding it all this time.
You've been holding it on us.
And that's
how
I paid for my 3DS. I sold it for
$1,000.
Now, if you'll go to the Pokemon Snap feature on the site and look at the picture of Diglett, I'm just saying. Just look at the Diglett.
Wow. how sure are you guys that the 3DS isn't going to get a redo?
Not sure at all. Not sure at all.
It will, obviously.
The sentiment seems to... Well, yeah, it will, obviously.
Eventually,
the question
it just
how
depends
soon.
When.
Yeah.
The sentiment seems to have swung largely from it's inevitable within a year to don't necessarily assume that it's inevitable within 2 years. I tend to lean more towards the thinking that they've proven several times over that there doesn't have to be a problem for them to fix, for them to fix a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
The Game Boy Micro being a good example, and the DSi being another good example. The DS Lite was fantastic. The GBA SP were fantastic, and yet they weren't the last iterations of those consoles.
Actually, I think the Micro's problem, you know, the Micro solved the problem for some people. This isn't small enough.
Yeah. Dude, the screen on the Micro is beautiful.
My Game Boy can't fit into the pocket on the side of my shoe.
Had a hard time fitting my SP into my pocket.
Are you 3 feet tall?
No, I actually had an extra battery pack on it, so maybe it didn't count.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, still, I don't think it changes the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Just because the 3DS looks like a pretty well-built system doesn't mean they're not going to ask you for $189 for another 3DS in a year and a half.
Well, they'll ask you $270 for another 3DS in another year. I think I want to wait till June to get mine, kind of like see how stuff is working out.
Yeah, maybe.
But then, get one.
But then if I wait, yeah, of course I'll be able to get one. Don't buy into that. But then I think by that point I'll be like, oh man, there's going to be another one soon. And then I'll worry about that as I buy it.
Well, anyways, I think that's a newscast. Let's get out of here before Nathan has to edit another second of audio.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Wait,
maybe.
we have iTunes, right?
Yeah.
We have iTunes.
And
review
it. Is there an outro? I don't know.
Yeah,
you can email us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. You can follow us on Twitter, where we don't do anything.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you can review us on iTunes, which is cool.
Unless you're going to give us a bad review.
Yeah, like
case.
That one guy. Jerk. If you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say it. This is free. All right? No one made you listen to it.
If you have a bad review to leave us, just go find a different podcast and write that review there.
Right. Just write it, save it in your inbox, but don't send it. Just leave it.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye.
Thanks,
guys. Bye. Bye. You're doing okay.